I want to read three verses, and could I refer you firstly to Luke chapter 19 and verse 12. And the Lord said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. His servants hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities? And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another said, Lord, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee. Because thou art an austere man, thou takest up where thou layest not down, thou reapest that thou didst not sow. The verse I really want to underline is the last phrase, really, of verse 13. And the simple instruction the Lord gave them was, occupy till I come. I think the NIV puts it, put this money to work. And I thought about this. It's different to the parable in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, the Lord gave talents. One man, 10 got 1 pound. They all got the same. And as I thought about it and tried to apply it to our own lives, I asked myself, what is the one thing common that the Lord has given us? What is that one thing common that he's given us? And I'm going to suggest it's a new life. The life that the Lord gave us when we acknowledged him as Lord and Saviour. We've all got that, a new life. And the simple command is, put it to work till I come. This new life the Lord has given us, he wants us to put it to work. You know, when you get to Romans 16, that last chapter and that wonderful letter of commendation, you read there, Paul says, Tryphena and Tryphosa, who laboured in the Lord. Two people, they were commended, they laboured in the Lord. But the remainder of the verse says, the beloved Persis, who laboured much in the Lord. There's just a subtle phrase difference, but how much meaning difference. One laboured and the other laboured much. And when you go back to the Old Testament and you've got the Nehemiah, you've got the rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You've got three classes of people in that chapter 7. You've got some built and repaired the wall. That's what it says. They built or they repaired the wall. But then it says some of the rulers, they put not their necks to the work. They were just, you know, they were passengers. And then it says of some, they earnestly repaired. And I took it as a challenge to myself. This one life the Lord has given us. Do we labour? Have we laboured much? Or are we like the man with the napkin? Wrap it up. We don't put our necks to the work. The Lord has given us all a life to live for him, and his simple direction is, occupy, put it to work till I come. And I think that's a challenge for each of us. What we have, this life, the Lord has given us, how much of it do we spend for Him? Well, I know most of us have to work for a living and so on. And I wonder sometimes, in fact I'm sure most times, most of us apply ourselves far more assiduously for our natural boss than ever we do for the Lord. We have to work 35 or 37 or 40 hours or sometimes 50 hours or we haven't got a job. But how much of our lives do we give to the Lord? You know, even so, whilst we work, the epistle's teaching is that even whilst we work for an earthly boss, we must consider in that role we serve the Lord Christ. And so, even in those 40 or 35 hours in the office or in the workshop or in the field or whatever, do we really serve the Lord Christ in that capacity? And so there's the challenge for us to think about. Occupy. Put it to work. And it's until I come. Let us turn over to the first epistle of Timothy. And we'll read two verses, verses 12 and 13 of 1 Timothy. We've got a similar phrase. Verse 12, 1 Timothy 4 and 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in manner of life, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And the apostle is writing to this young man, and I would suggest it's not merely to young men, it's to young women as well. And it's not merely to only young men and women, it's to middle-aged ones and to old ones as well. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Now, Timothy had a very special gift, and the apostle is here telling him to stir it up and use it and give attendance to it. "Until I come," he says, "you concentrate on," and it is public reading. And I think he was trying to encourage Timothy to publicly, in public, to read the scriptures, to give public exhortation, and to give public teaching. Now, we all haven't got those gifts, but before anybody can give public reading, they've got to do private reading. And I would suggest it's reading of the scriptures. How did you go with Read It Straight in 88? Have you finished? We haven't got too many more days left. I know Mr. Tatchell's working on it. But give attendance to reading. And I would suggest before anybody can be effective in public reading, they ought to be effective in their private reading. Private reading of the scriptures. And I won't accept the excuse we can't understand the Old English. The NIV brings it down fairly well to late 20th century English and phraseology for us. Give attendance to reading. To exhortation or to entreat or to urge people. And we can do this privately. We haven't all got to do it publicly. We can help and encourage and exhort and build up one another privately. And to the doctrine. And we've got to give attendance to it. And so it's till I come, we've got to apply ourselves and give attendance to these three. And the third reading is from Revelation chapter 2, And I'll just read from verse 19. I beg your pardon, from verse 18. And unto the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Now as you read these two chapters and these seven little letters to the seven Asia Minor churches, the Lord addresses himself in different ways, introduces himself in different ways. And here he says, these things saith the Son of God. Now, what greater authority for us to take a little notice. Who hath eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Those eyes that pierce. Those eyes that see. Those eyes that go beyond the outward externals. Those eyes that see the motives and can really judge them. And so the Son of God says, down to verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Here was a church, and you know, the first things about it, I'm quite sure it would put Eastwood to shame. I know thy works, thy charity, thy service and faith and your patience and thy works. It's mentioned twice, the last works are more than the first. Their volume of works are building up. What a wonderful church. And yet the Lord says, I've a few things against you. And here in this church, the previous church, there were some who held wrong doctrine. But in this church, there were some who not only held wrong doctrine, wrong teaching, they actually taught and practiced it. And so the Lord says, to those who hadn't been swallowed up in this monstrous evil that came into that church, that immoral evil that had come in there, and the scripture calls the woman Jezebel. And of course you've got to read the Old Testament to get a character study on Jezebel. But there were some who hadn't accepted that teaching. And so the Lord is saying to them, that which ye already have, hold fast till I come. And so it is with us as we gather together in a local church. There is wrong doctrine all around us. Let's pray with the Lord's help we might keep it there and not among us. But we've got to be on our guard against the introduction and the teaching and practice of wrong doctrine. And the Lord says to them, and he says to us, what you've already got. And you know, when we come to think of it, we do have a tremendous lot. You know, it makes me angry at times when I hear Christians despising their local church. And, oh, we're not as good as somebody else, and we're this and we're that, and we're, you know, you've heard it all. And yet if you look on the positive side, and what have we got? We've got such a wonderful thing. You know, we still acknowledge the inspiration of the Scriptures. We still acknowledge the Trinity. We still acknowledge the eternal sonship of our Lord Jesus, as we've remembered this morning. The Lord of glory it was that died, not merely Jesus of Nazareth, as Pilate wrote. We still have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and we believe that. We still believe in salvation through faith in Christ, that we're born again that way, and it's not by the works of our hands or by any other devious means. And so you can go down and we can list all those basic fundamental beliefs and teachings of the Scriptures that we've been taught, we've been brought up in most of us. We understand them, we still have them, and the Lord's instruction to us, that which ye have, hold fast till I come. And so there's my simple message this morning. It's a personal life. Occupy. Put to work what the Lord has given us till I come, was the parable. And the other's to personal one to those of us that have personal gifts. And I'm suggesting we all have personal gifts to exercise in one way or another, either publicly or privately. Until I come, give attention to reading, and want to encourage again to both the public and more so the private reading of the Word of God, to exhorting and helping and encouraging as we understand it. And hold fast as we gather together in a local church what we've already got. Let's hold it fast. You know, some seem to think at times that a lot of what we have is tradition. Well, there are good traditions, and I suggest that even some good traditions are worth holding fast. But just mere traditions, well, the Lord condemned the Pharisees for those. But hold fast what is godly, what we know and has been taught as basically, fundamentally, scripturally sound doctrine. Hold it fast. And the Lord says to do it until he comes.